star one, Lynn. Lynn, we can't hear you.
Good morning, third try lucky. And welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Wednesday, July the 10th, 2024, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We're on page 31, the first paragraph. Despite all we can say, we'll be reading through that one paragraph, ending with, and long enough to drink like other people, and commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Toby K., 12 Traditions, Susan G., and readers of the text, Larry K., Vanessa G., and Heidi B. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, July the 9th, 2024, the 7 a.m. meeting, 21555, and the 10 a.m. meeting, 21556. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's sole purpose. Our fifth tradition states each group has but one primary message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Toby K. will be reading the 12 steps. Good morning, Toby.
Hi, this is Toby K. Could you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over our compulsive overeating, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you, Toby K. And Susan G. is going to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Lynn, and everybody. Welcome.
I'm Susan G., compulsive overeater, recovered, not cured. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain a personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning. Pass.
Thank you, Susan G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions of recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we're resuming our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 31, the first paragraph, Despite All We Can Say, and we're reading through that one paragraph ending with Long Enough to Drink Like Other People, and sharing on that one paragraph only. So, Larry Key, could you start us off, please?
Good morning, Lynn. Thanks so much for your service. Hi, everyone. I'm Larry Key, recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. Despite all we can say, many who are real alcoholics are not going to believe they are in that class. By every form of self-deception and experimentation, they will try to prove themselves exceptions to the rule, therefore non-alcoholic. If anyone who is showing inability to control his drinking can do the right about face and drink like a gentleman, our hats are off to him. Heaven knows we have tried hard enough and long enough to drink like other people. So, you know, denial is, in my world, it's a defense mechanism in which we refuse to recognize or acknowledge, you know, the facts and the experiences right in front of me. And more than anything, it's really an unconscious process that serves to protect us from anxiety. And while denial prevents pain, in that sense, it also prevents change. And, you know, why would I fall into the grips of self-deception when faced with these facts? Well, I deceive myself to diffuse the fear and anxiety that, you know, it kind of bubbles up to the surface when who I think I am or who I think I should be comes into conflict with who I really am, you know? And how many of us arrive to OA, you know, just ecstatic about being labeled a powerless, insane, compulsive overeater? Well, you know, that's not a bumper sticker I want to, you know, display on my car for everyone to see, you know? It's not like we need to lock the doors because, you know, folks are fighting to get into the rooms of OA or on this line. They're not. So what we do when faced with something unacceptable, like being a compulsive overeater and all that entails, well, we, like, for example, for me, I craft a variety of arguments to demonstrate to myself and to others that I don't have a problem. You know, for instance, I might say to myself, you know, a lot of these people in OA weigh more than I do, or look at how crazy some of the stories we hear, or how unmanageable can my life really be? I mean, after all, I'm an accomplished a parent, or you might say a professional, et cetera. Or how about I only use when, you know, I'm just a night eater. I'm just an emotional eater. I came up with all this nonsense, right? So this paragraph drives home why it's critical to recognize instances of denial and misdirection. And that's why step one is a conclusion of the mind. I have to acknowledge that I have a problem before I'm going to embark on a solution with the vigor, with the enthusiasm necessary to have an effective spiritual transformation. And what I choose not to acknowledge does not disappear. It remains. And so denial is my mind's canny ability to keep me in the dark. And Jung even wrote, he said, you know, one does not become enlightened by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious. I've got to become conscious. I have to have courage and resilience to be conscious of this. And when I read this paragraph, I'll wrap up, when I think about the notion of self-agency, it's just the ability human beings have to take action based on their intentions. Open a door, close a door. Pick up a Twinkie, put a Twinkie down. So when I arrive to these rooms, I'm either going to use my self-agency to prove I'm exceptions to the rule and identify out, or I'm going to use my self-agency to identify in. And when you set your intention about what you are or are not, your brain is going to follow that instruction beautifully. If I'm paralyzed or apathetic, it's likely because I'm resistant to accept fully. For me, the built-in forgetter is about repression. So step one is about the leap from denial to truth. Take the leap from denial to truth. For me, if there's no honesty, there's no recovery. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry Kay, for getting us started. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, that would be Monday or Tuesday, please step back and let others have their turn. Say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Lisa B.
Loretta H.
V.H.
Okay, so far I've heard Lisa B., Loretta H., and Lee H. Who else would like to share, please?
Roy C.
Roy H. I missed Pedro that B. last name, please.
Roy Pedro C. B.
Jennifer T.
Okay, I know I missed somebody here. I've got Lisa B., Loretta H., Lee H. I believe I heard a Lori C.
Pedro B.
Here I have you. Thank you. Lee H., Lori C., Jennifer C., and Pedro.
That's
okay.
Royce.
Royce?
Lori.
I've got everybody. Thank you for our first round. So let's see. We have Lisa B., Loretta H., Lee H., Jennifer C., Pedro, and Roy C. And I apologize if I missed anybody or got you wrong, but we'll clear that up as we go along. So Lisa B., please go ahead.
Good morning, Lynn. Am I unmuted? Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, great. Thank you. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina, and I spell my name L-E-S-A. You know, I really was thinking about this paragraph this morning, and I got so much out of Larry's share. I was thinking how I need this paragraph so much today as a recovered person in a normal-sized body because, you know, that form of self-deception creeps in. And thank God I haven't acted on it and experimented. But, you know, that's why I need to hear recovered fellows and people that are not recovered, that are in the disease, every day I need to be on this meeting. I listen every day to one or two meetings. I hear the shares. I listen for those shares that speak new life to me. And, you know, yesterday on the meeting, I heard I have to fit my life into OA. And that is an old saying, but it's like, oh, I needed to hear that, you know. And I was thinking about that word self-deception. And what came to me is in my own prison, it's not that I'm trying to deceive others and convince others I may think that I am, but I'm trying to deceive myself, you know. And that's why, because I can be a queen of minimizing and rationalizing and justifying, I can't minimize anything, you know. That's why I need to be so clear on the boundaries and parameters of what my entire abstinence is, including the behaviors. You know, if I start doing some sort of behavior, I need to share it with a recovered fellow. I need to go to God, you know, in prayer. And I was thinking about where it says heaven knows, and I laughed. Heaven does know, because I prayed and prayed and prayed so long. But you know what? I heard a great saying when I first came on the meeting. It's someone said, willingness is overrated. It's action, action, action. And I have found that because I'm blessed enough to be in another fellowship. And they say, you know, willingness, you know, we just need willingness. And that worked for me. But when I came in here, and willingness is wonderful. It's part of our step three. But I had to take the action. I couldn't wait until I was willing. I mean, I'll die eventually if I wait till I'm willing. Because I don't want to ever do this, you know. But it's action. It's through action. And I'm so grateful today to have recovery and to be around you guys and to hear you guys each day. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Lisa B. Next up is Loretta H., followed by Lee H. Good morning, Loretta.
Good morning, Lynn, and good morning all along with my precious Loretta H. You are saving my life, recovered in North Carolina. It's so interesting. All of us that are the first leads start with the initial L, and that's about love. So all the shares have been really loving, and I'm sure all the other ones are going to be also. Okay, so this is for me... about control. Control was my middle name. And today, with God's grace and mercy, I used him and his will to, you know, turn myself righted. And I am, and I had to identify that because I've never been in a real heavy body, but I am a real compulsive overeater. And on page 21, it says, but what about the real alcoholic? He may start off as a moderate drinker, but at some stage of his drinking career, he begins to lose all control. And there were five controls before we even got to that paragraph, or that's the fifth one in that, of his liquor consumption. Once he starts to drink, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. And I've tried periods of especially starving, and I end up in the disease, face down, eating like a truck driver. So I know, I have to know and identify into this chapter. It's all about identifying into this chapter and identifying that I have ceased fighting anyone because I have lost my legs. And they're never, ever, ever going to grow back. And so this is my real, I am a real alcoholic. And actually, you know, people are, Larry share with Greg, I have never wanted to be this. I've wanted to be a lot of other things, a flight attendant, and they disappointed me. This disease has not disappointed me in the recovery stage. I am so grateful I'm an alcoholic. I'm also an alcoholic, but compulsive overeater. And all it was an unanswered prayer, because I wouldn't have the life I have today without working the steps. And what Lisa shared, willingness is overrated. It's about the work. And that's what I have to do each day to stay in fit spiritual condition. And thank you all. You are a blessing in my life. And all newcomers, please keep coming back at work.
Thank you, Loretta H. Next up, we have Lee H., followed by Lori C. Welcome, Lee. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, Lynn, for your service. This is Lee H., a recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee, and this paragraph is so key to my recovery. And the title, More About Alcoholism, I have underneath that, More About Why I Need God. And, yeah, I love it that they start out saying, despite all we can say, many who are real alcoholics are not going to believe they are in that class. And it's like the darkness. They know what the darkness looks like. They are telling me my story here. I wanted to stay in the darkness, you know, when I came in this program. There was every form of self-deception and experimentation. I was here for several years, and I was still experimenting with the food, trying to convince myself that I didn't belong in this group, and Larry gave some great examples. And I used all those examples, that I wasn't as heavy, or, you know, I didn't eat except certain times. And, you know, I had to just keep coming back to these meetings and hearing everybody's story over and over. And I just, you know, my will, I didn't realize how strong my will was and my control to not be in this group was. And, you know, this is really about step one, you know, and just how we all try to do this. And so it's okay to just admit it, you know. I had to come to the point where, bring it into the light, just admit that this is what I do, and then just be willing to do the work. That is really what it is, with the help. You know, I just began to trust my higher power. I began to be willing to do what my sponsor told me to do, and it has brought me into a wonderful world where I trust a higher power. I have no control over it, but my higher power does. And I just love this program, and thanks to all the people who do the work and do the service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Lee H. from Tennessee. And now we have Lori C., followed by Jennifer C. Good morning, Lori.
Hi, this is Lori C., otherwise known as Roy C. Good morning. I appreciate everybody being here. And this story talked to me in about the denial process. I'm a compulsive overeater, and have been for a long time. And it's this denial of being able to control my eating. And it wasn't until I just recently put down my alcoholic foods that I was able to have any success in the program. This paragraph reads something about, you know, hats off to those that can control their alcoholism, compulsive overeating, on their own and turn about. I cannot do that. I need this program. I need a higher power, and mainly need to put down my alcoholics foods because I have no control over them. Once I've started eating my alcoholic foods, I'm on a binge, and I forget about everything else. So I'm grateful to have been able to do that. Not completely successful on every aspect of it, but I seem to be getting better one day at a time because I'm a really sick puppy, and this program has been a great help, and I thank everybody here for being part of this program, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Roy C. Next up, we have Jennifer C., followed by Pedro V. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. This is Jennifer C. from Ohio. I am a recovering compulsive overeater. I used to roll my eyes every time someone got on the line and said, "I'm a real compulsive overeater." And I was just like, "Well, aren't you special? I'm the one that's special," because I was deceiving myself. I was of the belief that I didn't have to surrender certain food items. I was fine. I could eat three meals a day and nothing in between. And look, I just had, you know, X, Y, or Z, and I'm not going back for seconds or thirds. However, I would lose it 2 or 3 days later. However long it took for it to activate, it would store up and explode. So by every form of deception and experimentation, I tried to prove to myself that I was the exception to the rule. I was special. I wasn't like you guys. And it took a lot of time for me to finally realize. I've been in the program for 7 years, and I've been abstinent now for 2.5. But it took all that time before I was willing to try to give up my alcoholic foods and to realize, yes, you guys are right. There is something you have to give up. There is something you have to surrender. And the part about if you could drink like a gentleman. So I remember somebody saying in one of the meetings, probably here because you guys save me every day, I didn't eat it like a lady. And it was just like, oh my goodness, I was in my Downton Abbey phase. And I just saw the lady of the house sitting at the head of the table. She could care less what's on her plate. She is talking to the people to her left, to her right. She is of service to everybody in there. She's watching, she's talking, she's following. She is attending to other people, not to what is on her plate. That, to me, was just like the image of, could I eat like Lady Crowley? And no, I couldn't. Lady Crowley didn't eat in the bathroom. She didn't eat in the car. She didn't sneak out on her husband and go find food somewhere because she didn't want to hear him say something about the way she was eating. No, she didn't do that. However, she might not have been a compulsive overeater. Who knows? I don't know. I doubt it. But I can't eat like Lady Crowley. I can't eat like a lady. I hear how God can be my director and my person I go to all the time. So when I feel like going on a crazy bender or whatever, I know I can turn to God. I know I've got tools. And I think that's all I need to say. I'm rambling now, so I'm signing off. Have a good day.
Thank you, Jennifer C. from, Ohio.
Ooh.
And next we have Pedro B. Good morning, Pedro.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your service. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, you guys. I feel you are my brothers and sister. My name is Pedro B. I am a compulsive overeater, and I live in San Bernardino, California. And my ego is not my amigo. And this paragraph just floored me this morning, and my friend Larry K. just blew me away. It's unbelievable, the understanding and the profound recovery that he lives. He lives this thing. when I look at this, this is me exactly. It says, despise all we can see. When I put it in the I statement, it touches my heart. So I'm going to real quick here, try to, as soon as I can, try to express what I'm thinking here. Despise all we can say, many of us who are real alcoholics are not going to believe that they're in that class. That's me. Right? Despise all they say, I am not going to believe that I'm a really, you know, an alcoholic. I don't believe it. There's something in there, in that thinking that, I'm not. I can enjoy and control. I can do this program, and I can stay up in. I've been relapsing for over 15 years, and that's a fact. Okay, by every form of self-delusion and experimentation, I will try to prove myself exception to the rule. Therefore, non-compulsive overeater. If anyone who is showing ability to control his drinking, if anyone, me, I'm showing, I definitely don't have the ability, I'm unable to stay abstinent, right? Unable to fulfill our primary purpose, which is to stay abstinent and help another addict stay abstinent, the way I understand it, okay? So that's me, exactly, right? I can prove the exception to the rules, therefore not compulsive overeater. If anyone who is showing an ability, that's me. I'm showing an ability to stay abstinent. I'm showing an ability to control my eating. If I can do the right, obviously I haven't been able to do the right thing, right? And eat like a gentleman, my heart, their heart's off to them. I mean, their heart is off to me. Heaven knows I have tried hard enough and long enough to eat like other people. And the fact is that I haven't. And the fact is that the problem, I think, is my will. I think I can do this program. I think I can stay abstinent. I think I can stay recovered. And I can't. I need God's help. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Pedro B. And just to let everybody know where we are in case you signed on a little bit later, today we're in the chapter more about alcoholism, and we're on page 31, the first paragraph, despite all we can say, and we're reading through that one paragraph and sharing on that. So the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. So who would like to share?
Lisa C. from Massachusetts.
Jane F.
Okay, there was somebody from Massachusetts, please.
Sue Ellen C.
Thank you.
Anita J.
Jane
Thank
F.
You.
New Hampshire.
Sorry, who was that from New Hampshire?
Jane F.
Okay.
Macy C. Macy C. from Massachusetts.
Boy, I'm having a tough time this morning. I'm sorry. There was somebody from Massachusetts.
Macy C.
Macy. Okay, let me tell you who I do have, and you can let me know who I missed, please. I have Sue Ellen from Massachusetts, Jane S., Anita J., Maisie C. Did I miss anybody, please?
Yes, Lisa B.
Lisa B. Okay, there we go. All right, so I have Sue Ellen from Massachusetts, Jane S., Anita J., Maisie C., and Lisa B. Okay, please go ahead, Sue Ellen, followed by Jane S. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Sue Ellen C. from Massachusetts, compulsive overeater. And, you know, when I read this, I've known for a long time that I can't eat just one. I don't even want one or two. When I want to eat something, I'm using it as a drug, not as for something sweeter, because I want the taste. I want to stop thinking. I want relief. I want something else from it. I've known that for a long time. But what I would deny was what it was doing to me. I would think, I'm going to binge, or I'm going to eat this because I've had a hard day, or because I didn't even know what. I couldn't decipher the feelings. I just knew I wanted to eat madly. And I denied what it would do to me. I thought, well, I need this. It's going to get me through this, but it won't hurt me. And what I would really deny is how much damage my eating disorder did to me. I mean, it ruined my life. It kept me from so many things. Going away to college, I was afraid to live with other people because I had this secret, and how much it damaged my self-esteem and my ability to function. That's what I wouldn't admit, that this was killing me. And so that was that's the thing I fight all the time, because when I want to eat, all I can hear is it'll help me through this moment. It won't destroy me. And it's slowly destroying me if I continue to do it. And that's a good thing to know right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue Ellen from Massachusetts. And next up is Jane S., followed by Anita J. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jane S., and I am a real compulsive overeater, and I'm grateful to hear myself say that today, and I'm grateful to be back on this meeting. I haven't shared on this line for over 2 years, and but God has brought me back around to you all, and I cannot say how grateful I am to be here. I'm still alive, and my life has become unmanageable, and I'm powerless, and I'm just grateful to be here. I have been trying to prove to myself through what I heard today, which just jumped out at me, is I've been trying to identify out for the last 2 years, or for the last 15 years since I've been in and out of OA. I've been identifying out instead of identifying in, and instead of putting God first, thinking that I was unworthy and that I was settling for my recovery in our program. You know, my sobriety I thought was going to keep me going, and I could just rest on my laurels and let that be okay. And I got to tell you, it just does not work. I am grateful to be back here. I am grateful to have a sponsor and be working the steps every day, putting God first, surrendering. And I heard today, action, action, action. I've been doing step work since I started working with my sponsor last Monday, every day. I took my own time out. I put myself in my own rehab and just got back on this line, got on back onto these meetings that helps me remember that I don't eat like a lady. I cannot control my food. I cannot control my life. And someone said their middle name was Control. That's me. And this morning, as I was doing some of my assignment and I was listening to a podcast, this woman was asked to read in first tense two paragraphs. And when she started reading it, I actually started crying because I realized that was me. I've been trying to be the actor all this time and identify myself out, that I was different from all you because I'm so special, but I'm not. I am a compulsive overeater, and I am grateful to be here and back in the steps. And I'm grateful for my God and my life today that is just growing exponentially one day at a time. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Jane F. Now it's Anita J, followed by Maisie C. Hi, Anita.
Hey, hi there. Good morning. This is Anita J, and I live in Massachusetts. The disease started in Illinois. It transported all the way. Amazing. But I didn't even know, you know, that I had a disease. I looked so nice in the wedding dress. And that's the grace of God, because at the rehearsal dinner, we went to a restaurant that one of those all-you-can-eat. My God. It was, let's just put it like this. Whatever control I had vanished the moment I caught Mr. Wright. And that's what has gone on and off, up and down, and so eventually there was no more down. It was always up. Even in this program, I just could kid myself that words, I've always been very good with words, but there was nothing behind them, empty words. But now it's okay. because I finally surrendered. I've been in this program decades, but it's only been about almost 10 and a half years that I finally knew no more deceiving Anita. You are one of them. And you know what? I'm glad I found, you know, I heard this. I found my tribe. This is my tribe. And I'm very grateful that I'll die a compulsive overeater, but in recovery, that is the greatest thing that God has given me. And God has given me a new life. You know, people have been kidding me. I seem to be looking younger. Can you believe it? Anyway, that's all. I'm just going to pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Anita J. from Massachusetts. And next up, we have Maisie C., followed by Lisa B. Welcome, Maisie.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so great to be here. I am Maisie C. from Massachusetts. And, boy, this paragraph is definitely me. I did not believe that I was like you people. No way. Nope. I could do it if I really wanted to. I didn't want to. Well, that's the biggest joke. I did want to. I've been in program for 24 years, and I've been in and out and up and down and all over the place, mostly in the food. And thank God I came back. I came onto this meeting a few months ago, and I've been abstinent since. And I'm so grateful for all of you that walked before me and that encouraged me and, you know, I hear what I need to hear. I definitely thought I was an exception to the rule, that I was always comparing, not identifying. I'm not that bad. And, okay, I can eat a little bit today and then I'll go back on track. No, that never worked either. That one little bite just threw me into orbit and I was off and running all over the place again. And I was totally out of control. I always thought I could control everything, which somebody's unmuted. I think I did a pretty good job in every other aspect, with my work career, with, you know, whatever I was doing. But when it came to the food, I just could not do, I had no control. And this last sentence where it says, heaven knows, and I'm going to put, I have tried hard enough and long enough to eat like other people. And I can't do it. I remember being at a banquet also and just saying, I'm just going to have this or I'm just going to have that because I really liked that. I was eating everything. I was so sick on the way home, I thought I was going to have to have my husband drive me to the emergency ward. So I qualify to be a compulsive overeater and just like the rest of you. You know, I'm no different. I'm just another person trying to, I'm not a bad person trying to get well. I'm a sick person. I'm not a bad person trying to get good. I'm a sick person trying to get well. And did I hear time?
It's coming close.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, again, I'm just grateful to be here. I do have to make more phone calls. That's one thing I'm not doing. I'm doing good with weighing and measuring my food, speaking to my sponsor every day, but I struggle with making outreach calls, and I have to do that because I just need it, and I know it. I've heard the Holy Spirit speak to me many times.
Now
pick
it's
up that
time,
phone.
Please.
So, yep. Thank you, and I pass. Have a blessed day, everybody.
Thank you, Maisie C. Lisa B., you're up. Please go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you so much, Lynn S. Thanks for your service. Yeah, I love this paragraph. I put myself in places where I was powerless and drowning in the food and the arrogance and the egotism that fueled my nonsense and being blind to the fact that I am a food drunk and that I need to concede. And, you know, this self-reliance really threw me for a loop and would mess me up every single time I thought, I need to do this on my own. I have to fix myself. That was when I was conscious that there was a problem. And every time, self-reliance failed me, every single time. And this, you know, I insisted to keep going. And I have a broken memory. Like when I'm in the food or when I'm about to be in the food, I have amnesia. I forget that I've got, that I've even got a problem. And I get arrogant, like, I don't have a problem. I can eat like normal people. This incident is an isolated one, and I can just do it. And every single time, it makes me fall into relapse every single time. And I used to be a chronic relapser. And, you know, the prince of lies, the enemy wants me to, wants to put a black pillowcase over my head so I can't see and just listen to the lies and the self-deception. And I'm having a hard time with words because this is such a powerful paragraph, you know. The experimentation, I experimented just like, you know, I put myself in dangerous positions like buffets, like fast food joints, like drive-thrus. Even at Starbucks, I would go through the drive-thru getting an unsweetened iced tea. But I put myself in, you know, the people, places, things that were dangerous for me. Is that my time?
Coming up.
Okay. I will stop there. Thank you, everybody, for being part of my recovery. I'm somewhat new to Vision for You, and it's hard work, but it's worth it. I'm worth it. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa B. We have time for two or three more shares, most likely three at least. Please let me know if you'd like that time.
Sigrid F.
Okay. Is that Sigrid F?
Yes, awesome. Sigrid F. Yeah.
Toby K.
Roz G.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard. I heard Sigrid F, Toby K, Roz G. Did I miss anybody?
Darian K.
Okay, great. Let's stop there and we'll do our best. We've got four people. Let's go ahead with Sigrid F. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Sigrid F. and joining you, recovered from South Florida today. So this notion that I could be a normal eater, it, you know, God really had to prove it to me. I knew I was a compulsive overeater, but refused to think that it wasn't in my control. And in 2013, I had dieted. Or no, I had visited with my sister and gained a whole bunch of weight. And again, by the way, because I was yo-yo, and my sister said to me when I was complaining about it, oh, have you ever tried OA? Come to find she had been in program for several years. So what did I do? I looked up OA online, and I took the quiz, and I passed with flying colors, and then I went back to a diet plan because, darn it, I knew I could do it. And I lost weight. And 9 months later, the inevitable day came when I couldn't. And my overeating was not exclusively, but mostly in the evening at dinner time. And so I would eat a normal breakfast, a normal lunch, and then I would get to dinner. And dinner would be out of control. Eating three dinners, you know, just eating way too much, claiming I was hungry. Probably because I was starving myself for breakfast and lunch, and then I was too hungry at dinner. But regardless, what I was doing to myself. But this time was different. This time on that slow, slippery slope back to hell, really, I heard something. You know, it was a voice. I feel like I had a little angel on my shoulder saying, do you see it now? do you see it now? Because every day I would do the same thing. And every day I'd be amazed and disappointed that I had no control, I had no power, I could not change this thing. So this little angel, do you see it now? And through that, God proves to me, yep, nope, I have no power, zero power. I cannot do this by myself. I can't do it without program, without my higher power, and without all of you. And thank you, God, for those messages. And thank you that I still remember those messages and what happened then. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Sigrid F. Next is Toby K, followed by Roz G. And if we get on to 2.5 minutes, we'll get everybody in, I think. Please go ahead, Toby.
Thank you. I'm Toby K from Long Island, New York. Thank you for your service, Lynn. And everyone shares really hit me. Identify the part where somebody said, eat like a truck driver. 5 feet and shrinking slightly. So then I'm shorter than 5 feet. And I could eat like a truck driver. I'm amazed when I go to someone's house that people leave food on their plate. How is that even possible? I belong to the Clean Plate Club. Everything is gone. I barely have something to scrape into the garbage. So I really appreciate this program because I know I'm not alone, and I need all of you. And most of all, I need God to bring me into reality. Pass.
Thank you, Toby K. Next up is Roz G, and we might be able to squeeze Darian K. And Roz, if you could do 2.5, please.
Sure. Thank you, Lynn S. And my name is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And I woke up like halfway through the meeting, so I think you guys are on the paragraph, despite all we can say, I think. I want to say today is July the 10th, and according to my my daykeeper, I mean my timekeeper on my phone, I have 5 years of abstinence today, and I have over 20 years in OA and 5 years of an abstinent life. And you know why? Because I just want to credit this meeting because this meeting taught me what real abstinence. What abstinence is, it just taught me how to live by spiritual principles, and to live the big book way. I'm still waking up, but I did not believe. I never wanted to believe that I was in this class. I always wanted to be different or somebody else. It's not me, and all the experiments that I tried, I always ended up, going right back into the food, gaining weight, being in self-pity. And today, I self-pity is one of the big ones for me, but very seldom do I report that I'm in self-pity. I'm eating very well. I'm living very well. So many good things are happening in my life. I live in reality. I don't live in fantasy today. I live in reality. I work with newcomers. I work with I'm sponsored. I listen to someone. I take direction. I give direction. And most of all, God has changed my whole being and life, and it's so much better than
time,
it was
please.
5 years ago. Thank you, Lynn. I pass.
Thank you, Roz. And Darian, you've got 1 minute. Would you like that minute?
Yes, I would love that. Thank you, Lynn. Hi, everybody. I'm Darian Kay. I live in the Berkshires in Massachusetts in Western Mass. Just grateful to be on the line with all of you, and so grateful that I have people to identify with, that I'm not alone in this big world thinking that I'm the only one that eats, like a truck driver, that's part of the Clean Plate Club, that, just I normally had to eat like a lady, you know, thank God I do today, but boy, before program, seconds and thirds were just a natural occurrence.
Darian, we lost you. Sorry, Darian, we've lost you, and your time is up. I'm sorry. It was good to hear what we did, though. Okay, thank you to everybody who shared, and thank you to Team Wednesday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Wednesday, July the 10th, is 21562. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour immediately following closing. And now we're going to have Vanessa G. read from page 164, A Vision for You. Please go ahead, Vanessa.
Good morning, everyone. This is Vanessa G., recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. And this is Our Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. So see to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me be of service.